Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Work in one form or another has been around since the very beginning. In Genesis 2, God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Adam enjoyed the fruits of his labor. In today's culture, we do more than eat the fruits of our labor. Our very livelihood, our ability to remain in our homes, pay our bills, depends upon a job. What happens if a potential worker is blackmailed, has to sign on a dotted line in order to get a job? Last month, Michigan became the 24th right-to-work state. Just what does that mean? What limits are placed on the workers of the other 26 states in America? To help us understand this issue better, my guest today is Matthew Wagner. He's a director of communication and legislation with the PA Right to Work. Thanks, Matt, for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Did I get your title right?
Yes.
Okay. What is PA Right to Work? I mean, we can kind of envision what it is. What is your main function?
Sure. Well, Pennsylvania's for Right to Work is a voluntary organization that was formed for the primary goal of ending compulsory unionism in Pennsylvania.
Okay. And I have a copy of the National Right to Work newsletter here in front of me, the November-December newsletter. It says, another impossible right to work victory. Michigan becomes the 24th state to abolish forced union dues. How did that happen? When I think of Michigan, I think auto industry, I think union, union, union. How did it happen that Michigan became the 24th right to work state?
Well, what happened in Michigan was that the unions made a power play. They tried to push through legislation that basically gave themselves a final say in every budget that would be passed in the state of Michigan.
Every state budget.
That would have been a ballot initiative in the last election. Mm-hmm. That ballot initiative failed, and as a result of that attempted power grab, the citizens in Michigan said, enough is enough. We're tired of this. And they decided that it was time to return freedom to the citizens of Michigan.
Wow, and they did it in a big way.
They saw the opportunity while the unions were kind of reeling, I guess, from that defeat, and they got it done.
Well, I know President Obama even weighed in on the issue there in Michigan, and he said, you know, these so-called right-to-work laws, they don't have to do with economics. They have everything to do with politics. What they're really talking about is giving you the right to work for less money. Is the president right on that? Is he right on anything?
But well, anyway. Imagine if the president got something wrong.
Oh, my. Wow.
Statistics show that 7 of the 10 highest wage-earning states are right-to-work states.
7 of the 10. Wow.
7 out of the top 10 highest wage-earning states are right-to-work states.
But 7 of the 10, 7 of the 10 highest wage-earning states are right-to-work states.
Correct.
And as I'm looking at the map that is in this National Right to Work newsletter, you know, I'm looking at the states, and mostly they're all in the South. Of course, we also have Nevada, Idaho, Utah, Wyoming, North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas. I'm just going through the northern states because all the southern states except New Mexico are right-to-work states. We also have Iowa, Indiana, and now Michigan in the north that are now right-to-work states. So,
correct. Indiana and Michigan were the two most recent, correct.
Two most, okay. And again, when I think of even Indiana, because we lived in Indiana for a while, when I think of Indiana, I think of car industry and the unions there. So these are major, major victories when we look at Indiana and Michigan becoming right-to-work states.
Absolutely.
So what has happened in Michigan? It's no longer forced union dues. So explain the whole right-to-work concept.
Sure. So what it means in Michigan and what it will mean in Pennsylvania when it passes is simply that individuals will have an option now. They will not be forced to join a union or pay union dues to work for a company that has a union. They will be able to decide whether they want to pay union dues or to negotiate their own contract with their employer.
So it does not make unions illegal, which is what they're trying to paint the picture as.
No, and that's one of the many fallacies that unions try to argue, and that's one of the things that we tell people all the time. This is not union-busting legislation. What this does is it encourages good unions and discourages bad unions.
Okay.
You know?
Right. Now, all in all, I mean, the unions were a good idea back when they first formed. Do mm-hmm. you think unions are really necessary today in today's culture?
That's not for me to decide.
So it's up to the workers to decide whether they want to be part of a union.
It's up for each individual person to decide if they want to join a union or not.
Okay, and that would reflect on whether the union's necessary as far as whether people,
absolutely.
Workers. Okay, so it's up to the workers to make the determination as to whether a union is necessary.
Sure. I mean, the analogy is if somebody were to introduce legislation today that says every business had to join the Chamber of Commerce, how do you think that would go over?
Not too well.
Not too well, right? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be fair. But yet, that's exactly what the unions have right now. If you want to work for a company that has a union in it, you have to join that union. Unions are set there. Put on a pedestal right now, and it's not the American way.
Right, and that's a perfect example.
Unions should have to earn that membership the same way that the NFIB has to earn their members, the same way the Chamber of Commerce has to earn their members. You know, the same way every other organization has to earn their members.
Right, that's an excellent example that you just gave, and a lot of people don't think about that when you're talking about you forcing businesses to become a member of the Chamber of Commerce. And it's the same thing if workers are forced to become a member of the union. So that's an excellent analogy there. And
unions make this argument about how right to work is nothing more than, you know, free riders. You know, they don't want people out there working for a company and getting the benefits of union representation, but they're not paying dues. Well, first of all, the fallacy there is unions don't have to represent every employee. They fight for that right because they want that right. Second of all, if you look at, for example, going back to my Chamber of Commerce example, there are businesses that benefit from Chamber of Commerce advertising that drive tourism and the lobbying work and other things that Chamber of Commerce does, but they don't have to join the chamber to get that benefit. It is up to the Chamber of Commerce to go into that business and show them those benefits. And it should be up to a union to do the same thing.
No, that's absolutely right. And of course, Pennsylvania is known to be a strong union state. Is that fact or fiction? I mean, it's, you know, the overall concept is that Pennsylvania is in fact a strong union state, but in reality, do you think it is?
Historically, it has been. Now, you know, statistics came out earlier this week that show union membership has dropped again across the state. That's a testament to the fact that companies are looking for a number of things when they're looking at where they're going to do business. CNBC did a study last year, and one of the things that companies look for is whether a state is a right-to-work state when they're looking at where they're going to set up shop. 9 of the 10 best states to do business in were, lo and behold, right-to-work states.
9 of the 10. Wow. So with us being a strong union state, or viewed as a strong union state, that has actually negatively impacted our economic development.
Sure.
Wow. What was the statistic you just gave? 9 of the 10 best?
9 of the 10 best states to do business in, according to CNBC, were right-to-work states.
CNBC, and that's not, I mean, that's not Fox News talking.
No. Nope.
That's not a conservative network. So let's talk about the bills. There have been several bills that have been introduced. 1, 2, 3, 4, looks like 5 bills have been introduced. Let's talk a little bit, actually more bills than that. 6 bills or so have been introduced. Give some information about some of these bills.
House Bill 50 is the kind of umbrella bill, and then each of the bills deal with a separate segment of the population underneath that.
So okay.
One deals with the private sector, one deals with public sector. Representative Bloom's bill deals specifically with the escape clause within union contracts that says workers only have a 15-day window at the end of a union contract, which can last years and years, wow. which they call, the unions call their escape clause to get out of a union, of a union.
That's what the union that's what the union calls it, but there's only a 15-day.
It's a 15-day window.
At the end of the contract.
At the end of a union contract, which, like I said, union contracts can be years long.
Right.
And that's the only window an employee has to get out of it.
So HB 250, sponsored by Representative Stephen Bloom, would give them the opt-out option anytime during the contract then.
Anytime during the contract.
Sounds like
fair
to me. And, of course, Representative Daryl Metcalf is the one who introduced HB 50, the Freedom of Employment Act, which you said is an umbrella bill.
Right.
And then the other ones fall under that. HB 51 would prohibit labor unions from collecting compulsory union dues from non-union public school employees. So all school, all public school employees are not in the union then from that.
Say that again?
Says all public school employees and are not in the union.
All public school employees are union members, correct.
Okay. HB 52, sponsored by Representative Fred Keller, will prohibit labor organizations from collecting compulsory union dues from non-union state employees.
Right.
HB 53, Representative Jim Cox, will prohibit labor organizations from collecting compulsory union dues from non-union local government employees. Well, this does cover every like you're saying, every gamut of the issue. And then HB 54, sponsored by Representative Jerry Knowles, would prohibit private sector employment from being conditional upon membership or non-membership in a labor organization. Compulsory dues would be prohibited for non-union members. Yeah, that definitely covers. Do you happen to know if these have been actually introduced and what committee
they're in? All of these bills have been introduced, and they're currently being circulated, and we're collecting sponsorships now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so legislators are being contacted to go on
correct.
As co-sponsors.
So I would encourage all of your members to contact their legislators and make sure that they're signing on as sponsors of this legislation.
Each of these,
the more
sponsors
the legislation has, the more juice it has, the more likelihood it has to get out of committee and to be voted on the floor. The governor has stated that when we get it to his desk, he'll sign it, but we have to get it to his desk
right.
first.
Well, that would be great. Yeah, the overall effort is called Pennsylvania Open Workforce Initiative. Is the overall
title of the package of bills.
Of the package of bills. So what would a right to work Pennsylvania look like?
Well, it would mean that, first of all, it would mean more freedom, more opportunities for individuals. It would mean more jobs. It would mean higher wages. It would mean
all good stuff.
I'm sorry?
All good stuff.
All good stuff.
Yeah.
It would mean lower costs. It's been shown that what happens is because everything costs more when, you know,
because the cost is passed on to the consumers.
Right.
Any cost.
The cost of labor, negotiations, and everything all gets passed on to the consumer. So that means bread and even your property taxes, all of those things all goes up. And
in connection with
by passing right to work, it's about a 25% decrease in all of those things just by getting a right to work. Now, that doesn't mean it happens overnight.
Well, right, true. We haven't
want to get a call a week later.
Yeah, like, hey, this hasn't happened yet.
Yeah,
true, because where we're at now did not happen overnight either. So it's going to take time to get
absolutely.
It back on path. And of course, none of that's going to happen unless these bills are passed. So I do encourage our listeners to contact their state representative and ask them to co-sponsor HB 50, HB 51, HB 52, HB 53, HB 54, and HB 250. He got out of line there. So these are very, very important for our economic development. Everyone is concerned about economic development, and Pennsylvania is not known to be a business-friendly state. So if we could get these bills passed, it would be a major shot in the arm for our economy here in Pennsylvania. So,
well, I think the other thing that passing this legislation does too, that's important here, is that the union bosses have gotten out of line with the wishes, for the most part, of their union membership.
Okay.
There was a study done. It was a very small study, but it was released just last week that showed something like 52% of teachers believe that their unions don't represent their political values, and I think that number is low, but
right.
That's beside the point. The unions have a tendency, union leadership, I should say, have a tendency of fighting for things that their members don't believe in.
But yet they're forced to...
I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, but yet they're forced to help in these...
They're forced to subsidize them by their union dues, exactly. You know, things like fighting against school choice, which I know your listeners believe in. Things like...
Well, same-sex marriage. I know in Michigan, because I know Gary Glenn up there with AFA Michigan, and he, when they passed their marriage protection amendment in 2004, the majority of union members supported it. But yet
exactly.
The union, you know, they fought against the passage of their marriage protection amendment.
Right.
And it's been in other states the same way, but...
Right. So what passing right to work does is two things. First of all, it removes funding from that effort because, you know, obviously unions won't have as much money to spend on that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing it does is it makes unions become more responsive to their members because
which
they're going to have to realize that in order to keep the members that are staying, they're going to have to be more in line with those members politically and socially and everything else.
Right.
So I believe that this legislation is kind of the linchpin to some of the other legislation that we need to get done in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that President Obama is very pro-union. There have been a few things he's done and said that's indicated that, such as when he made that statement up in Michigan prior to the election there. But the unions have become, I think, as you just mentioned, one of the major concerns of union members is that the union, as you're saying, the union leadership has become so liberal and have leaned so far to the left that I think we're seeing that backlash through what we saw in Michigan and in Indiana because union members do not like their union dues being used to, as you said, subsidize all this stuff that they don't support. And
exactly.
So Pennsylvania needs to get on board and also become a right-to-work state, especially when we have a governor who says he will sign the legislation when it reaches his desk. So this is a prime opportunity to...
Which, by the way, what's interesting is that's exactly what Governor Snyder in Michigan said when this whole thing started in Michigan.
Okay.
You know, people keep saying that they wish that Governor Corbett would take more of a leadership role, and that would be great if he did so.
But yet he's in.
Welcome him to do so at any time.
Right.
But in the meantime, we need to recognize that the effort in Michigan was not led by Governor Snyder.
In fact, it was a freshman House member who hadn't been told it couldn't happen, is my understanding.
Right. You know, it was led by the legislator, and it was led by citizens who just got fed up with the unions overstepping their bounds, and they just said enough is enough, and
they got out there and they did it. Yeah.
So
Pennsylvania
that's what
needs
we
to
need
do the same thing.
We need to do. We need to let our legislators know that, first of all, those who are not behind it, we need to get out there and let them know that we're going to hold their feet to the fire. And those who are behind it, we need to let them know that we're going to support them, that we're going to back them in this fight.
Absolutely. We definitely need to do that. How can, let me give the House bills again, to call your state rep and ask them to sign on as a co-sponsor. As HB 50, HB 51, HB 52, HB 53, HB 54, and HB 250. So call your House members and ask them to sign on as co-sponsors. How can folks contact Pennsylvania's Right to Work?
Well, they can go on right on our website. It's www.parighttowork.org. They can always visit us on our Facebook page, or they could always also check us out on Twitter, PA Right to Work.
Okay. So parighttowork.org is the website, and you're also on Facebook and Twitter.
And, that's correct. Got to be in this day and age.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, Matt, for taking time to be with us. I appreciate that, and I hope Susan
gets... Thank you for the opportunity.
I hope Susan gets feeling better.
Well, she's a trooper. She'll be back up and running in no time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, hey, take care. We'll talk
Thanks,
to you later.
Thanks, man. Take care of yourself.
Okay,
God
bye-bye.
Bless.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.